Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. Hey. I'm Robin.
And I'm Lauren Cortizo. And In Phase is a podcast, a community, and a space for women who are passionate about embracing all phases of their bodies, their cycles, and their lives.
You crushed that this week.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, you didn't need to read that from anywhere. Episode 11, and we finally got it down.
Incredible, incredible. We're here.
Oh man, that practice, was so good.
Practice makes perfect.
I guess it does. Oh God, I loved that. Okay, so we have so much to talk about between the books that we're reading, the trips that we just went on, Carmen's sleep regression. Again, I don't know if you guys listen to all of these episodes at home. I hope you do. But Lauren and I, every time she comes over to record, the studio is set up in my house and we go mute for the hour that we are spending time together before and setting up the studio and getting everything technologically right because we want to be able to talk about everything on the pod. So I brought down like one of the books that I'm reading because I want to start talking about the books that I'm reading on the pod and we're both reading what we're consuming, if you will. Literature ladies, and you saw Strangers immediately, like, oh my God. And I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
It's the two of us just like prepping in silence and biting, like physically biting our tongues to not talk about things.
And we're both such yappers with each other, which is why we started the podcast in the first place, is because when we're together, it's just wah, 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 wah. So it's like to not speak to each other, it's so easy for us to be like, okay, wow, so tell me how that feels. And I'm like, nope, don't tell me how it feels. Tell me how it feels right now.
Keep all your emotions bottled in until we have microphones.
Exactly. It's like be a man, except minus the microphone.
Exactly.
Don't give men microphones, in my opinion.
Yeah, who said that was okay?
Yeah, I would like to ban all men from having microphones, except for Gabe.
Except, yeah. Sometimes. Just kidding. Yeah, he can have a microphone. He deserves it.
Wait, I saw the news about his pilot just came out.
Yeah, super exciting. So he booked a pilot.
Okay.
And they shot it last week or 2 weeks ago now. And it's funny, it's like a sitcom, so it's live studio audience.
No way.
Uh-huh. So I got to be in the audience.
You were in the audience?
Yeah, so fun. So they shot it a few weeks ago, and then we'll know soon if it gets picked up or not. I was sitting with Gabe's family, and during the recording, after every scene, people would cheer, and me and Gabe's sister, after every scene would end, we would both joke and scream, America needs this show! America needs this show!
I'm not gonna lie, like, with the state of America right now, I think they do need a sitcom.
Honestly,
if Friends was still on the air, I don't think that we would be invading Iran.
No, totally. But it's like the reason why I feel like we keep rewatching shows that we know how they end is because we don't want to be living in anxiety. We want to know it has a good ending. And like sitcoms do that for you.
Here's the thing. I think you know this about me. I consistently only rewatch shows.
Yep.
Even as someone who works in Hollywood, media, film, entertainment, I don't like to consume new media because my brain is already so fried by the end of the day, by the news cycle. I am always rewatching Summer House, which, by the way, if anyone wants to continue talking about this Scamanda thing with Sierra and Wes Wilson, just heard the leaked audio from the reunion. Let's chat. Mm-hmm. Lauren's like, what now? It's Summer House, it's Sex in the City, and it's Girls and Grey's Anatomy on repeat for me. It's like the most basic series of shows, but especially Sex in the City.
Yeah.
It is like wearing a comfort blanket.
No, totally. I do love rewatching Sex in the City.
Yes.
Because it's like 30 minutes. You're going to get your laughs. There is some resolve at the end, which is lovely. And there's never a worry of like, what's going to happen here?
No. I turn it on to sleep at night. It's like a sleep podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, ding, 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 ding. Speaking of which.
Okay.
I know we're going to move on to something more important next, but I was just rewatching Sex and the City this morning because, as I mentioned, I'm always rewatching it. And it was I was watching the last season where she's dating Petrovsky, who, by the way, I hate. I don't understand that duo at all as a love interest. But it's where Steve and Miranda take in Steve's mom because she has a stroke.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, I'm like, they have this big brown son in Brooklyn. Steve is a bartender. They have Magda living with them full time. How much does she make? Because even in New York City standards, like a lawyer who's a partner at a law firm, I would be shocked if they made enough to support an entire family, buy a house, have a live-in housekeeper, bring your in-laws in. So anyway, I did some research this morning.
Okay, what did we learn?
And I was figuring out how much ostensibly the women are supposed to make. And apparently Carrie is supposed to make between 150 and 250. No fucking way. That woman writes like a 7-paragraph column for a small offset newspaper once a week. But, and then Samantha is supposed to make between $500,000 and $700,000 a year. She owns her own firm.
Yeah.
She owns her own firm. She works with celebrity clients. She works with very high-end people. That makes sense to me. Charlotte is supposed to make 50 to 80 as a gallery curator. That makes sense to me too, working in the arts. And then Miranda, apparently before her partner track, 150 to 170. But then after the partner track, 500 to 600 or 700.
Okay.
But even, I guess I should look into by New York, if that's today or back in the day. Yeah, she could get her brownstone. No problem. But today, $500,000 salary in New York is not going to buy you a house, support your entire family, and move your mother-in-law in.
Right, because she has a brownstone in Brooklyn. Right?
Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yes.
I don't know.
So anyway, that's my gripe with Sex and the City right now. If anyone has any info on how much Carrie was getting per word at Vogue and how that translates to 20 years later in 2026, I'd love to talk to you.
You know what? It just has to be generational wealth.
Carrie.
Because let's think about it. Not only do they own these unbelievable houses...
I know, right? all of them own. There's a whole episode where Carrie has to buy her apartment. She's like, New York is a city of renters. Everyone rents.
Slash, but also on top of that, they're eating brunch. They're going out.
All the time. Drinks.
That's so expensive in New York.
All the time.
Yeah, there must be some little trusts they're not talking about when they're talking about their last night escapades.
Charlotte, definitely. When she's like, I paid for that apartment.
We know. Based off of her outfits, we know she comes
for sure. Yeah. And I, you know what?
She has too many popped collars.
Good for her. If she were going to school in our like millennial age, she would be the girl who wore like the double popped Abercrombie polos back to back.
Rugby shirts. The
Tiffany necklace with like it's the silver one with the big heart looped
classic.
In the front.
Yep. 100%.
I think I got one of those in like Chinatown once and I was like, $4? Absolutely. is supposed to be $400. I've never seen that kind of money in my life.
We have a term in my house called Boo Boo Tiffany. And this is because I was once gifted this Tiffany keychain and it had like the little heart. It was like super cute. And I put it on a chain because I was like, this is like a fun thing to like layer with my other necklaces.
Yeah.
And Gabe was like, what is that? And I was like, I took the keychain, turned it into a necklace. It's just like me being DIY. And Gabe was like, that is like some boo boo Tiffany. And so in our house, we have a term called boo boo Tiffany.
Do you still have the necklace?
Yes, it rocks. And I wear it.
Honestly, wear it next time.
It's fire.
Wait, speaking of wearing, we have to acknowledge that we're wearing matching outfits today. If you're watching this, this was unintentional. I opened the door this morning to Lauren and we did like the Spider-Man thing. We're like, oh.
It happens often.
Oh, I know. We're synced.
We are very synced. We're also in our follicular phase.
Follicular. We're in the best phase of all time where you start to feel like a human again.
Yes, it'd be. Oh, look. Hey, wait. I know we're talking about rewatching shows. Last night, I started a new show.
Which
I never really ever do.
Okay.
Last night, I started watching The Real Housewives of Rhode Island.
Everyone is talking about this.
And this is why I started watching it.
Everyone is talking about this. That and Ladies of London.
Yes, because every time I log into a meeting, the chatter, like the pre-meeting chatter is all about Real Housewives of
Rhode
Island.
Don't you work with a bunch of tech bros?
Yeah. Sneaky.
That's sick.
Sneaky.
I actually kind of like that.
Which for me is another reason why I'm like, oh, I should be watching this. If everyone is watching it, including the SF Tech Bros,
yeah,
it means I should be watching it. So I started watching it last night.
Okay.
It is an absolute treat.
Seriously?
I think part of it is because I'm from New England.
God, like, I get so jealous every time you talk about where you're from. Like, Brooklyn, New England. I'm like, listen, let me tell you about Orchard Ridge neighborhood in Madison, Wisconsin, okay?
I mean, it sounds lovely. Orchard Ridge? Come on, that's like a little storybook.
It actually was a very idyllic childhood. Like, I can't even lie. I cannot lie. It was great, but zero cool factor.
That's fair.
And you're
fair.
Like, I'm from Brooklyn. I went to Boston. I ran marathons. I skateboarded. Lauren's the cool one in this relationship, if anyone was unclear, which I don't think anyone is.
I always say, cool is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, that's well, you guys are the beholder, so weigh in, but be kind.
I will say, this season already, I'm only two episodes in, and it is an absolute delight.
Wait, that shocks me that you would watch any sort of Bravo content, and I love this, so I'm gonna dive in.
Yeah, it's kind of worth it. I will say, I went through, when I got my wisdom teeth out, it was during the pandemic, I forget what year it was, but it was like in the last like 6 years. I went through a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills phase.
Okay.
And I loved it, but I realized that my mental health was correlated with how much Housewives I was watching.
Oh, I get that.
Like, truly, like, if I was watching a lot, like, I was not doing great. And yep. So like I went fully cold turkey. I was like, I can't be watching
cold
this.
Cold turkey.
But more recently, I'm like, okay, I think I can take it. I think I can handle it.
Yeah.
And it's been a real treat.
Wow. Okay.
So if you choose to watch, let me know. The characters are out of control. Also, they all look exactly the
same.
That's
what I noticed. It's Ashley Iaconetti from the Bachelor yes. franchise, right? Who, by the way, was a national treasure at that time for just like the amount of sheer chaos and crazy that she brought to every season of anything she went on. I will never forget her crying faces back in the day were like astronomically cuckoo.
And it is like, that's what they basically build her character around, is the fact that she's crying all the time.
Yeah. Nothing has changed then. Yeah. Cause she was obsessed with Jared, her husband, for years. And like, this was when like people really watched like Bachelor in Paradise. And like, it was when streaming wasn't as popular. So linear TV watching was like a cultural thing every week. You would watch it with your girlfriends and stuff. Like I used to get my ex-boyfriends onto it. And I just remember, like, I followed her for, like, 5 years from Bachelor Nation to Bachelor in Paradise, and she was so obsessed with this guy, and it was so creepy, and he clearly had friend-zoned her, and he kept reiterating that to her, and then at the end of the day, she wound up with him, and he wound up falling in love with her, so it's like, listen, ladies, I don't know, keep trying, sometimes, within the bounds of what's legal.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, I think they've been married, like, 6 years.
They've got multiple kids, right?
They have two kids. He has a coffee shop.
Oh, that's cute.
The coffee shop isn't doing that well, though, when she's trying to convince him to, like...
Oh, he loves Rob Thomas.
No.
Of what? Matchbox.
No. We can't. Love Rob Thomas?
He's obsessed with Rob Thomas.
I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you Rob can't tell.
I fucking love Matchbox 20, though. Do you not like Matchbox 20?
I think they're fine.
I love them. That's insane.
I think it was right place, right time.
No
and I know.
Way.
Here's what
Matchbox 20 is so good.
I don't know.
Guys, weigh in on this. I think this is actually going to be the most important content or like response that we get from listeners. Do you love Matchbox 20 or not?
Here's what I will say.
Please.
And let me recognize this about myself.
Self-awareness
is that I was like a rock kid.
And like again,
middle
the cool
school,
kid.
I was a rock kid. And so I want to acknowledge this, that sometimes rock bands that were too mainstream, I thought they weren't cool, but was it because they weren't cool and I didn't like them, or was it because I was trying to be cool? So I'm going to say, so like,
my guess would be the latter.
Right. So Good Charlotte, for instance, they were mainstream. All the pop punk kids were like, fuck Good Charlotte. Good Charlotte rocks. The anthem?
I love Good Charlotte.
Unbelievable.
You know who I...
Unbelievable.
I'll take your uncool take and raise you one uncooler take because, as we mentioned, I'm on the totem pole, cool, I am below you. You know, you were repping Good Charlotte. You know who I was repping? Simple Plan.
Okay.
I loved Simple Plan.
And this is what I'm talking about, Robin, is that Simple Plan... For like pop punk kids was considered a little bit uncool.
Oh yeah, everyone was like, you're fucking lame, you're a poser, you're just trying to be like us. Yes.
But they're great.
Thank you.
And this is what, and you are, first of all, let's just crush this. You are cool.
Thank you. I should be talking like that because I'm in my follicular phase. I'm not in my luteal phase. I am cool.
And you're very cool.
Thank you.
And Simple Plan is great.
Thanks.
And they were just given a bad reputation, which is why I'm saying I need to check myself. Matchbox 20, am I just saying I don't like them or do I really not like them? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to Matchbox 20 this week, and I'll report back.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Because you could be right.
It's a really great... So I know you have a commute home after this. Scream it in your car.
Okay.
It's a really good... Okay. What is it? 3 a.m.? That one is incredible.
Yeah, wait. Remind me how that one is, because I can see it. Like, see that
3 a.m. and I'm alone. Yes.
Totally.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry okay, for that.
But also, Smooth Santana featuring Rob Thomas is... Oh. Is one of the greatest songs.
I had that CD and I would listen to it in my car all the time.
So good.
So anyway, this Jared guy, this was like his identifying personality trait was that he loved Rob Thomas and he would talk about it on every date. And not even just like Matchbox 20, but Rob Thomas.
This makes me love him even more. It's so funny.
It's such a, like an uncool thing to love, but he is just kind of dorky and cute and very much so like genuine in himself.
Yeah.
Like he just seems like a good guy who loves Rob Thomas.
Hey.
You know?
RT. If you love RT, you love RT.
Let's go.
That's amazing.
Okay, so that's what you're in on Real Housewives right now. I am rewatching Summer House, obviously trying to scope out cues for when we discover that Amanda was a terrible person. Mm. And people who are following this along know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, I heard the leaked audio from the reunion, which I'm counting down the weeks towards, and I am disgusted Disgusted.
She's disgusted, y'all.
I am disgusted. I think you are a bad fucking friend and a bad person if you hook up with your best friend's ex-boyfriend behind their back 4 months while you're also still married to someone who is all in the friend group.
Yeah,
I think objectively, objectively, we can agree. So anyway, but I do appreciate the cultural consensus that we have around this. So yeah. Yesterday, you know, when you spend like a really good Friday just doing nothing?
Delight
indeed. My good Friday. Isn't that the Friday before Easter?
I was going to say that's very Catholic.
Okay, so, yes. Which is not my jam these days. I was raised it. So a different kind of Good Friday is my religious Good Friday is going over to one of my best friends, Lauren Thompson. She listens every week on her walks.
Shout out,
I appreciate
Lauren
Thompson. Hey, Lolo. And went over to her house and we ordered Thai food and researched what the most scandalous episodes were of Summer House. And we have our favorites anyways, but we cross-referenced them with people on the internet. And we watched like three of like the craziest episodes where we were able to point out and be like, see, we should have clocked it back then. Should have clocked it then. Should have clocked it then.
Wait, so fun.
Yeah. So that was, it was perfect.
I love that.
Went over there at 7, had Thai food, was home and in bed by 10.
Oh, what a dream.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
Books.
If anyone's watching online, you will see I have a stack of books here. As we mentioned on previous podcasts, Lauren and I are literate and we love reading. I have been on a reading kick lately and I do want to start just bringing that into like the regular segmentation on the pod.
Love it.
In case people are looking for book recos, since we last talked, I mentioned Where the Women Were. Mentioned were The Heart's Invisible Furies. Since then, more women books. This one, The Women by Kristen Hannah. I feel like most people have been talking about this for a long time. It's about women nurses in Vietnam and like kind of their untold story, because so they came back from the war and even veterans were like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have PTSD. They were struggling in the same way because they didn't see combat, but they saw all of the chaos and the destruction from combat. And so they came back with PTSD and found no support within their communities, within veterans associations, because like they weren't recognized as soldiers, so they didn't receive the same mental support or like community aspect. And then keep in mind too, when anyone came back from Vietnam, they were like spat on and called baby killers. They were not supported, even though it was a draft that brought them there against their will. So anyway, this was just really, really beautiful. It's about her story in Vietnam, and then it's about her story. It's not a memoir, it's fiction, but the woman it follows coming back from Vietnam and the PTSD that she experiences, how she experiences America afterwards and what she does for her life to try to heal. And it was so beautiful. I cried.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I mean, I cry a lot, but I did cry in this one.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll read this one.
You can borrow it. You can take it with you if you want.
Okay.
Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Have you
read this one?
This is actually why I screamed.
Because
I just finished this book.
Oh my God.
I just finished this book, and you want to know what's funny,
Me
Robin?
Me too!
I saw you posting about it on Instagram, and I was messaging you to say, I'm just finished this, and then I said, let me tell her on the pod.
Okay, so we are synced follicular-wise. We are synced in our literature, because also, we both just started reading Strangers yesterday or the day before, and this is so fucked up, you guys. Strangers is, but wait, let's talk about Cleopatra and Frankenstein. It follows a couple who are very mismatched and kind of quirky and wild through New York City, and New York is a character in the novel, essentially, which I absolutely love.
Yep.
What did you think?
So it's so funny because I liked this book.
Okay.
I couldn't wait for it to end. I couldn't wait for it to end because it's so dark and depressing. When you're reading a book, when you're watching a TV show, you're entering a world. And this world was one that at first I was like, I love being here. I love a story about a struggling artist. I love a story about romance. I love any New York story, any sort of like gritty New York story I'm in.
That's why I picked it. I picked it for my book club. And I said, oh, like, what's a story set in New York with New York as a character that like we can dive into and have a lot of fun with?
Yes, yes. So I was like so on board. And then about 65% of the way in, I was like, I can't wait to get out of this.
Yeah. It's like a ride that you can't get off.
Yeah. But I like it. I will say I thought the writing was great. And I felt like what was interesting about this book is it's written in third person, but I felt like I understood each character so deeply. Like the way that Coco Mellors wrote about each character.
I've never heard her name written or said out loud. That's the author, Coco Mellors. And what a cool fucking name.
She is rad.
Coco Mellors. Coco Mellors.
Is it a real name?
Let us know
is
if you know.
Is it a pen name?
Right?
But what I appreciated is I felt like every time we were diving into a character, the way she was writing about the character allowed me to really understand how that character was thinking and how they were feeling about themselves.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that while staying in third person the whole time, I found to be pretty impressive.
I love that. So you're talking about prose.
Talking about prose.
You're going real deep.
Oh, I love prose.
I love that. So I've got a teeny tiny little dinner book club. Have I told you about this?
Yes, which I love.
Yes, dinner book club. We're actually reviewing Cleo and Frankenstein. Cleopatra and Frankenstein is the name. I'm going shorthand, obviously. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, okay, when this episode comes out. So if everyone was listening to the pod, who's part of book club?
Spoilers.
Which they all do, which I love. It's two gay men and then my best friend Lauren, and they listen to the pod every week.
So great.
And I love that. Even though the cycle syncing doesn't necessarily apply to them. So thanks, Kurt and Matt. Appreciate you guys. But every week, I think I told you this, not every week, every month, someone picks a book and then you have to pick a dinner spot that represents something in the book.
Oh, yes. Where are you going?
We're going to Casa Bianca. So it's my choice, my book choice, my dinner choice. We're going to Casa Bianca in Eagle Rock, which is like a really like old family pizza joint where they have like the checkered tablecloths. They serve like fountain soda in those plastic red cups. And then they also have just like a red wine on the menu that they fill up in those teeny wine glasses.
Just like the one red wine.
The one red wine to the brim, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a little bit dark, but I love a theme. It goes to the theme of the book is you have to put your name in. It's not a reservation-based place. And there's always a little bit of a wait. There's a dive bar next door.
Okay.
So we will put our names in and we will go to the dive bar next door, which also fits into the book because there's a large theme of alcoholism in it.
Deeply.
So I've thought this
deeply. Incredible.
So anyway, a theme on a theme.
Love that.
All right.
What did you think?
I really liked it. I did really like it. It wasn't as hard for me to read and to experience the chaos. Maybe because then I just read a book about like war and PTSD that this seemed like slightly less chaotic.
Sense. Yeah.
Which I don't know, maybe says a lot about me. Like I need to read something calming, which Strangers, by the way, is not. Speaking of the next book.
No, not calming. Chaos. I think it actually what makes sense though too is that when I was reading this, I was reading Dinner for Vampires, the Bethany Joy Lentz book.
I don't know it.
So she's an actor who is in One Tree Hill. She played Haley in One Tree Hill, and she was in a cult for over 10 years.
Oh, obviously. I know Haley from One Tree Hill. Didn't realize that. Yeah, and the cult part about that was bananas.
Yeah, so this is her memoir all about the cult.
Oh, I'm picking that up next. Wait.
It's great. So I was reading that while reading Cleopatra and Frankenstein, which is why I was like, someone free me from chaos. I need peace. I need peace.
Honestly, that makes so much sense. And warning for people who are picking up Cleopatra and Frankenstein, we're talking about being dark. There's mental health. There's suicide. There's
drugs.
Alcoholism. There's meth. There's weird sex stuff, which can be fun, but in this case, didn't seem so fun to me.
No.
Wait, but speaking of memoirs, I forgot about what I have been doing. I've been consuming books lately. All of this is within the past like 2 weeks. Lena Dunham's memoir.
Oh.
Fame Sick.
Yeah.
Pre-ordered it. As you know, love girls. I talk about girls in this podcast all the time. Fame Sick. I pre-ordered it to listen to it because I love listening to memoirs.
Same. I listen to Bethany's.
Yes.
It's great.
Okay, great. Good
Especially
to know.
Like when they read it themselves.
Yeah. Lena reads it herself.
Yeah.
And say what you want about Lena Dunham. I know that she's incredibly polarizing in culture for a variety of reasons. But what I think as feminists we can agree on is that she was annihilated in the press for her body image in a way that a thin woman putting themselves naked on TV would not. And part of the reason that she made the choices that she did was to open up conversation and visibility about different women's bodies and the fact that they just exist. Has she said some crazy ass shit over the years that is absolutely like objectively not okay? Yeah, she talks about that. What I really liked about this is she talks about that in the book. She addresses it. It's really much so like a reckoning with her experience in the media and a reckoning with herself. And she's very honest. There's this line that Hannah has in Girls, and you really see that she is her character in Girls that she plays, Hannah Horvath. There's a line that Hannah has that's very funny when she's in a fight with Marnie, and I think it's season one. And it's like anything that you want to say about me, Marnie, go ahead and say it because I promise you I've already said 10 times meaner things to myself about myself. And
surreal.
that it, reading, hearing Lena read her book, that is how she feels about herself. Mm. Like, there's so much self-hatred.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so sad, but it was also so funny. She is such a good writer. She is so funny. I loved it so much. As someone who loves girls too, she gets into like the nitty gritty of the casting, of her relationship behind the scenes with Adam Driver, which a lot of people didn't know about. And then it really goes into her
like romantic relationship with Adam
Driver. He seems very similar to his character, Adam, in the show, which is a little scary and interesting, but he's on my hall pass list. So I don't care.
I love Adam Driver.
I do too. I love him.
He is unbelievable in that show. I never finished Girls, I've told you this.
I know, I can't stand that.
I'm so sorry. I might just need to skip the second half of season two. That's where I stop every single time. I have probably watched
I'm at that right now. I'm actually at that, the second half, because I'm rewatching it right now. I'm like reading the memoir, and I actually 100% agree with that.
So hard for me to get through.
There's several episodes in the second half too that like aren't, they don't focus on the four girls in New York.
They're just focusing on Hannah.
It's Hannah or Hannah and Jessa in like Michigan or wherever they go to visit her dad.
Maybe I should just skip. Should I just skip that?
I think I give season three a try.
Okay.
Because there's more Elijah there and we love
Elijah. We love Elijah.
Have a good night. Your dad is gay.
But no, Adam Driver, his acting in season one is one of the most unbelievable things I've ever experienced.
He's so good.
It's unbelievable.
He's so good. Yes.
Crazy.
I love him. It's so interesting getting like a peek behind the curtain. And I don't know. I loved it so much. I laughed out loud. I cried a lot because a lot of, and this is what is specific to this podcast, so much of her book and her entire struggle in life, which affected her work, she then became addicted to anxiety medication. Mm. It's because she had such severe endometriosis for years that went undiagnosed and multiple surgeries and eventually wound up having to have a hysterectomy at the age of like 27, no, 31 or something like that. And and it was like chronic. She couldn't move. She couldn't work. She like was bedridden. It obviously affected her relationship with Jack Antonoff deeply.
Yeah.
Her relationship with the showrunners on Girls, her relationship to work. And then she became like, in order to kind of function, she started taking Klonopin, which she was prescribed, became addicted to Klonopin, then had to go to rehab. Like, it's all so crazy. But her talking about her journey with endometriosis and feeling so unseen and disbelieved in her experience, because as we've talked about with endo, you cannot see it. It's an invisible disease, but it is chronic and it is so painful. I was weeping. Crying, best place to cry, as we know in LA, is in your car. I was sobbing in the car.
Wow.
And anyway, here's a fun fact about me, is that when I have a couple drinks, sometimes I like to DM my celebrities and tell them my thoughts about things. So I did.
You have to share a screenshot of that. You absolutely have to. I love that, actually. I love that.
And the thing is, it's always nice messages.
Totally.
It's never me. Like, I DM'd Lena Dunham about how much I appreciate her sharing her story. Last week, I DM'd Mia, Sierra's best friend, on Summer House to try to tell her that she's being a really good friend and I really like the way she's showing up this season. I told Lauren, my friend, last night, I was like, yeah, I DM'd Lena Dunham. She was like, you're back at it. Huh?
I love that.
Yep. So that's a fun fact about me, is that I like to DM people on the internet that I don't know and tell them really nice things, because I feel like they're probably going to really a lot of hate. And so I'm going to be one little shining guy out there and be like, I like what you're doing right now.
That's amazing.
Good job. Keep it
up. I'm going to start doing that now.
It's not a bad thing to do. Have I ever had someone respond to me? No. I encourage you to.
And I will.
Yeah.
And I love that. I really, really love this.
So anyway, that famesick, Cleopatra and Frankenstein, the women, and then this fucking book.
I know. This is the first 11 pages.
Strangers, like, by Bell Burden.
It gives nothing away to say, because it gives
no, go ahead.
But basically, it's like 4 days into the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like 4 days into lockdown. The author goes to Martha's Vineyard with her husband and her two kids. She has three kids, but her son is staying with other friends. She gets a voicemail from a man who she doesn't know. And the voicemail says that he thinks his wife is having an affair with her husband.
And she's been married for 25 years at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm. And she confronts her husband about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't deny it.
He's apologetic that night.
Mm-hmm. And then they find out that the person who he was having an affair with tries to overdose. And then he's feeling sad about it.
Yeah. And like looking to his wife for comfort because his mistress tried to kill herself because she found out that her, her mister's wife found out about their affair. So right. She tried to kill herself.
Yeah. So then he's feeling sad, expecting his wife to comfort her. And then the next day wakes up and is like, I'm done. And is like, I don't want this house. I don't want the New York apartment. I don't even want custody of our kids.
They have three teenage kids and they have built this life together. They it all encompassing. And he even says, and this is within the first 10 pages. I had to put it down because it was like triggering and traumatic for me. And I texted my friend who recommended it. And I was like, this is nauseating. I was like, does this get any better in terms of like less sickening? And she goes, honestly, no, but it is really good. And it's just, it's crazy.
It's bonkers.
He walks in the next day and she says that it was like, she didn't recognize him. He just was immediately a different person she'd never seen before in her life, like walked different. His eyes were different. The way he looked at her, just cold and detached. And he left that day and refused to really ever come back and they get a divorce. And it's chronicling this experience of being married to someone who overnight decides to up and leave your entire life. And then I think what I assume is that he does some really crazy shit throughout the divorce is what I've heard, like financial stuff that... Because I'm at the point right now where they're talking about the prenup that he asked them to change.
That's where I'm at.
And I was like, don't do it, girl. Exactly, don't change the prenup.
And she did.
She changes the prenup.
She changed it.
And again, this is the first like few pages of the book. So we're not spoiling anything. We just started. But I was listening to it last night as I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
And I started having nightmares about it. So I woke up and I had to turn it up and turn on Sex and the City.
Need a palate cleanser,
yeah,
baby.
I was like, ding, 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 ding. Okay. We had some stuff to talk about. Should we talk about today's episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So today we are talking all about working out and training with your cycle, not against it. How to work with your body during the four phases. What's going on in your body during those four phases that makes some days feel so simple and easy to crush a PR, to kill a Barry's class. And then what's going on in your body the very next day when you feel like it's hard for you to even get out of bed. So you'll give yourself grace at the end of this episode, as we always talk about. And I think you'll walk away with a deeper understanding of how you should be moving with your body throughout the month and why it's important to honor those phases and not work against them.
Absolutely. Sometimes scheduling workouts can be hard to do because life gets really wild. And when there's intentionality of scheduling specific workouts tied to your menstrual cycle, it actually makes scheduling workouts easier because I have a guide to work within.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So as I mentioned, we're talking about training with your cycle today, trying to answer like the age old question, or at least what has plagued my brain before I knew what cycle syncing was, which is why do my workouts feel amazing one week and then impossible the next? So we want to make sure that we're normalizing the experience of this because it's so universal and it's so real. And this is the first aspect of cycle syncing that I adopted in my life when I was toe dipping my way into it that made me feel so different with such a small shift and made me so much more comfortable and accepting of my body as opposed to angry at it when I am misunderstanding my luteal phase as like being lazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was the first thing that I also implemented, which is the reason why I was like, oh, cycle syncing works. Like it was like strictly adjusting my workouts that allowed me to feel that way. And I feel like too, Robin, like I know like both of us are pretty active.
Yep.
And so like, what has your experience been in general when it comes to doing athletics, doing classes? Because I want to hear more about like how that fits within your identity and your lifestyle too.
I was expecting this question. I am a class girly. Yeah. I love workout classes, but I grew up playing organized sports. I grew up as like a competitive swimmer, soccer, basketball, volleyball, ran cross country and track in high school. After high school and college, I started running half marathons, doing sprint distance triathlons. Like I love exercise. I love group exercise. I love competitive exercise. And then I still now like will toe dip. Like I ran a half marathon last year. Yeah. I want to do another sprint distance triathlon this year. So I like having fitness and exercise as both routine and as goals.
Yeah.
Something to accomplish like that year. Like I'll usually set like an intention for the year. It's like, I want to run a half marathon this year, or I want to do a sprint try this year. Or I like sometimes I'll be like, I want to run 50 miles this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's helpful for me to like have it be a motivator for me, but I also love the community aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like you and I have talked about like, oh, let's go do a Pilates class today or something. Or like I'll do yoga classes with friends. But I love a workout class because I feel like it is, one, that community element, and two, I don't have to think about what the strength program is and like, and motivate myself. If someone's in there telling me what to do, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I now, in addition to like having one big thing that I'm usually training for or working on, will usually do at least a couple yoga classes or HIIT classes a week at my gym, and then intersperse that with just trying to move my body with walking as much as possible. Walking has become such a much bigger part of my exercise routine in the past 5 years than it has in the past. And that's largely due to cycle syncing as well.
Yeah, that's so cool.
A way to continue to move your body, even when you're in your luteal phase or in your menstrual phase, in a way that is gentle and kind, but still like really, really effective.
It is like, it's so sneaky.
Yes.
Like it has such a deep impact.
Yes.
But for some reason, it's like we put it like such low on the totem pole.
Well, I think it's impactful. I think it's the way that we've read about and learned about working out in media growing up, where it's like we saw women having to do spin. Remember the Soul Cycle era?
Yeah, and you're people sweating and drenched.
You have to sweat and have music at a DJ and the lights down low at level 1,000. And it's like, holy shit, that is spiking your cortisol beyond belief. Like, good for you. I think during like follicular and ovulatory phase, if you want to get in there and like really pump yourself up.
Yeah.
But we don't need to be doing 2 Soul Cycle classes a day in order to lose weight. And I think also it's like that whole misconception that women should just be doing a ton of cardio to be skinny.
Yeah.
And it's like, and people always are like, why would you walk when you can run? When actually like the low impact aspect of walking can be more beneficial for you than running when it comes to like the health of your body. And as I'm saying this as a runner, I know you're a runner too, but it wreaks havoc on your body.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And even just like what walking does to your like nervous system.
When I'm having a bad day, I know I need to go on a walk in nature.
Dude, same.
Yeah.
Same.
A friend called me yesterday and she was having a hard time. I was like, can you take your body on a walk?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a nervous system, like deregulator.
Yeah. Always feel better.
Yes. Wait, what's your, I know you are a crazy athlete. So what is, how do you fit exercise and into your routine and your personhood?
Yeah. I feel like I used to identify as an athlete, or maybe I still do. But for a while, for a while, that was like a deep part of my identity.
Yeah.
So growing up, I did a lot of sports. I danced. I ran a lot. But my big sport was wrestling. I like joined the wrestling team as a joke and then fell in love with it.
That is the coolest and weirdest and funniest thing.
It's crazy.
And also show you. I joined it as a joke and then I fell in love with it.
I was like, this is going to be a hilarious story to tell in English class tomorrow. That's like literally why I went. And then my whole freshman year, it's funny, I was dancing competitively and doing wrestling. And
wait, really?
Yeah, so
the dichotomy of that is hysterical.
I literally, Robin, I would leave class, go to my dance rehearsal, and then I would show up to wrestling practice. I still had my tights on. And I would go to the bathroom, take off my tights, put on my sweatpants, and then wrestle for 3 hours.
Did the guys just fucking love you? I feel like you would be like everyone's dream girl. It's like the hot dance girl coming in who also wrestles. So she's like really, really like she's like the girl in all of the 90s fucking rom-coms. And then you walk in, you're like, what's up, bro? I'm also one of you.
One of you guys.
Let's play World of Warcraft after.
It's funny. There were some guys who, like a lot of the older guys kind of like took me in as a younger sister because I had an older brother.
Oh yeah, so that's always
like
good.
Some sort of like protective energy. I mean, there were also like some guys who like were always trying to flirt and date and whatever. But I feel like for the most part, it was interesting because my whole first year, I was trying to prove that I was there because I wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Because I think like, unfortunately, there's like this terrible stereotype that like girls just join for attention.
Boo.
And so I felt this deep need of like trying to prove myself. And so like I worked so hard. And so I think I was able to earn everyone's respect pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That was my main sport. I was like an All-American, which is crazy. And then I became
so wild. Insane. Lauren's like, I was an All-American wrestler in high school. That's a little bit about me. How about you? I ran the mile.
No. And then I started running, and then I started running marathons and did like some sprint tries and things too. But I think like, so for me, like moving my body and athleticism has always been like a deep, deep part of my identity.
Yep.
And I still, it's something I take quite seriously. And it's part of the reason why I think cycle syncing has like really changed my life is because moments where like I don't feel athletic or don't feel strong, it's like so easy for me to do the self-talk of like, what have you done? You've let yourself go. Why aren't you feeling this way? This was like deeply a part of you.
Yeah.
And so the idea of
what happened to you?
What happened? So the idea of having grace, I think in general, is so important, but cycle syncing has really allowed me to feel that grace and to allow myself to speak more kindly. And
I think
right now it looks like different things every day when it comes to me staying really active. Yeah, I've like been a yoga teacher before, and so I have yoga phases.
Like, listen to her talk, you guys. Lauren's literally done everything. So I was a yoga teacher for a while. I was running marathons, All-American wrestler.
It's a wild thing. But mostly it's just like I think it's a huge part of who I am.
Yeah.
And
we started our friendship over a run.
We did.
On a work trip. So to frame up how we want to talk about the episode and talk about this in general, I think what we want to get across is you are not the same person all month. And mm-hmm. that is like the first and foremost thing to know. You're going to feel differently week to week emotionally, but you're also going to feel different physically, which is why your workouts and the way that you're approaching exercise is going to or should change. And again, you should give yourself grace because your hormones, which fluctuate throughout your cycle, mainly estrogen and progesterone, drive energy, muscle recovery, endurance, mood, and stress tolerance, all of which obviously very much so affect how you're working out, how you're recovering.
Yep, absolutely. One of the key things just about cycle syncing in general is understanding how every phase your body is completely different. And so the idea of planning workouts and being mindful about what classes you're taking or how you're going to recover yep. is really important when it comes to paying attention to your body.
And again, if I think we live in a patriarchal society and it's really important to remember that. So when we're seeing a lot of propaganda about how you should be moving your body or what you should be doing every day, I always come back to 75 hard, which is what I talked about in our first episode about how that challenge of doing the 75 hard workout, which is two workouts a day, one needs to be outside, one needs to be inside, no days off. They need to be intense. You have a strict diet. You don't have alcohol for 75 days in a row. I would never recommend that a woman do that. And that program was built by a man for a man.
Yep.
But if you're talking about a woman's body, which changes day to day, week to week, you should change the way that you're working out. You should not be doing two workouts a day during your luteal phase. You should not be doing two workouts a day during the first day of your period.
Yep.
So just something to think about. It's tough because we're rewiring our brains to kind of dismantle what we've been taught about exercise our entire lives, because most of what we've been taught has been geared toward and built by men.
Yep, 100%. So let's start by talking about the menstrual phase.
Ah, the star of the show.
We love her.
We do love her. And you know what? I hope if you're listening to this podcast, you're learning to love her too.
Yeah, she's a great gal. She's a great gal. So menstrual phase. So the first day of your period is day one of your menstrual phase. So this is when you are bleeding. This is when your uterus is shedding its lining and your hormones are dipping. So our body is going through a lot internally and it requires us to do a lot of resting because there's a lot of different things that are happening. So for instance, when your uterus is shedding its lining, your uterus actually has to be inflamed for the shedding to happen. So your body is going through internal inflammation. That's something that can cause cramping. It can cause fatigue. Additionally, when you're losing blood, your iron levels dip. And that also leads to you feeling more tired. It can lead to your endurance lowering as well. And so already your body is going through a lot. Mm-hmm. You're already feeling tired. So the idea of incorporating workouts that require a lot of energy, that require a lot of mental capacity, it just doesn't quite add up.
No, it doesn't. And then I think it's also important to talk about like what you feel like mentally around this too, because with low estrogen, that means that you have low dopamine and serotonin. And those are what are pushing motivation, mood, and drive. So I was menstruating. I had my period last week and I did not work out one day. And every day I told myself I was going to, I was like, I packed my gym bag the night before, like had it in my car. And I woke up the next morning, just like wanting to hit snooze, wanting to rest and forgetting, even someone who has a podcast about cycle syncing to be nice to myself.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, you lazy piece of shit. And I'm just like, no, this is like taking a step back and being able to look at my hormonal levels, where I was like, yes, I'm tired or physically, and I have lower motivation in general to get up and do the thing that I said I was going to do. So maybe just give myself grace to not do the thing and sleep in a little bit later.
100%. 100%. Yep. And I love that. It's like your body is doing so much internally.
Mm-hmm.
it's doing so much. And so it makes sense as to why our energy is feeling low.
Yes.
And it makes sense that we do just want to sleep more because we probably have to.
Yes.
Because our body is in overdrive.
Yes.
And so it's that thing too, where it's like, it's the simple thing of also like, when you're sick, it's not great to work out. Like, let your body focus on getting better.
Yep.
Before you're trying to do these things that are leveling up.
Yes.
It's like, let's just get to the foundation.
Yep.
And I think it's a really good reminder that our bodies are going to do that once a month, every month. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay if there's moments where we're not feeling up for going to class.
Amen. So, all right. So what workouts are best for menstrual phase if you feel like moving? And if you don't and you feel like sleeping and resting for those first few days of your cycle, that is 100% okay too. But I think oftentimes like gentle movement can be helpful.
Yeah.
To one, kind of, as we mentioned, be a good mental reset for
yes.
you. Getting out in nature, never a bad thing.
Yep.
The dopamine that's released from exercising. But what are the exercises that we should be focusing on in menstrual phase?
Yeah. So walking is a great one. Walking or hiking. I love to go for like a nice hike when I'm on my period. Yoga and stretching is also great. And so there's a few reasons why these are great. So like when it comes to walking or gentle movement or hiking, it can also help not only mentally, like we talked about, but the increased blood flow can also help when it comes to reducing cramping. So that's really beneficial. It also helps to support lymphatic drainage, which can also reduce bloating. So
I love lymphatic drainage, by the way.
I know it's
such a buzzword in culture right now, and probably more so in LA, but lymphatic drainage massages have become my go-to.
You love them.
I love them. I've gotten two in the past week.
Hey, good
love
for
them.
You.
Shout out Reset Spot in Burbank. Sponsor us.
And then I think too, like one of the benefits of doing any workout that is really gentle and really stable is that it doesn't spike your cortisol. So that's what happens when we're doing like these HIIT workouts. It's like, it's literally putting stress into our bodies because you're upping the velocity and the intensity of your workout consistently. Whereas doing something more steady, it doesn't spike the cortisol, which is really great because it activates our parasympathetic nervous system, which is great for relaxation. It's great for pain relief. And it's also, again, just great for our mental state because if we're feeling tired and feeling unmotivated, by also allowing our body to physically feel more at peace, I think it personally also allows us to mentally talk to ourselves with a more peaceful tone.
God, I would love taking your yoga class. I'm just sitting here listening to you. I'm like nodding along. I'm like, physically more at peace, mentally more at peace. Let us know if you want us to have Lauren record a meditation for everybody, by the way, a luteal meditation or a menstrual meditation. We can do that. I'll listen. All right. Speaking of honoring, benefits of honoring the phase that you're in. So obviously just working with your body, but you have faster recovery into the next phase. If you're working with your body in the menstrual phase, you're not beating it down and breaking it down further, making it tougher for it to recover when you're shifting into follicular phase. Reduce PMS severity later on, like just the mood stabilization in general is really helpful for that. And then you're stabilizing your hormones by working with your hormones in each phase. So again, like not spiking your cortisol, working with your lower levels of progesterone and estrogen, and that less stress typically results in less endocrine disrupting. So pushing hard here stacks stress on top of inflammation.
Yep.
It worsens fatigue. It worsens cycle symptoms. And resting can mitigate this and provide peace for your body and peace for your mind.
Yeah, so great. So great. So yeah, I think like the big takeaway is, yeah, gentle walking, yoga. And also too, like, I don't know, if you feel like you do need to work out, just like take it easy.
Yeah.
Like I feel like last week when I was on my period, I did go to my class. I felt like I just like needed to go, mm-hmm. wanted an excuse to like get up and get out. And I just took it at like 25%. I went to Bunda and I did like level 3 on the Stairmaster, and I did super lightweights.
Yep.
And I didn't do as many reps as the teacher told me to do.
I love that.
And it was just one of those things where, like, for me, like, I can be really competitive in a class and I want to push myself. But it's also, so I think it's also been a really good practice of just like, okay, you can go and move your body, but don't push it and feel comfortable being, like, not doing what everyone else is doing.
I think that the ability to separate yourself from the class hive mentality and modify and rest when you're not being told to rest or you're being told to complete another rep when you're listening to your body and you're like, no, I just really want to lay down in child's pose right now.
Yeah.
When I do a yoga class and I'm in my luteal or menstrual phase, by the end of the class, I'm on my own fucking journey. I am stretching. I am in child's pose, puppy pose, like Shavasana 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
Like I'm here for my physical and mental health. So I'm going to follow the structure of the class to the best of my ability. But if something doesn't feel right to me, I'm going to do what feels right if it is more rest.
So great. That's yeah. so great.
I went to a class once with Sarah Woodhouse. It was a yoga class. She was like, I love that you just like, at the end, she goes, I love that you just like do your own thing and don't listen to what they tell you. And I was like, I bet the yoga teacher doesn't like that at all.
No, that's so great. I love it. Listen to your body.
So next phase, the phase that we're both in, follicular.
We love her.
I love the follicular phase. It's when you like wake up and you start to feel like a real person again. So it's days 6 through 14-ish. It's right after your period ends. So your estrogen is coming back into your body. It's rising steadily. The follicle stimulating hormone, which is what we call FSH, something that you'll hear a lot if you are doing egg freezing. I had never heard of it before I did my egg freezing, and they measure that. And that's something that's important for that process. But this prepares your egg for ovulation. Insulin sensitivity improves, so your body can use carbs more efficiently and effectively at this stage. So that's something to think about as well. If you're putting in harder workouts, that also means obviously you need to balance that with a heavier set of nutrition. You're carbo-loading, you're eating correctly to nourish your body from doing hard work. And then your nervous system becomes more sympathetic ready, which essentially is going into action mode. So you're really just, you're flipping your on switch in all ways when you enter into follicular, from your hormones, from your body, from your ability to consume foods in the right way to support a harder workout.
Yeah. And it's like, and like you said, it's like you're all of a sudden feeling more energetic. And the reason why you're starting to feel this way is because, as you've mentioned, your estrogen is starting to rise. And estrogen boosts a lot of things, including one, dopamine, which we know makes you feel really good. But it also helps when it comes to feeling motivated. So you're more likely to feel more motivated to work out. And that's because of the estrogen continuing to rise. Additionally, you have an increase in serotonin, which has an impact when it comes to happiness, as well as your mood stability. You also have an increase in BDNF, which stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And that actually helps when it comes to your ability to learn and your ability to adapt. So when it comes to, like, for instance, taking a workout class where you don't know what you're going to do, this is actually a good time because your body is kind of mentally prepared to be able to take on something new.
If anyone has ever taken the class Stacked at Equinox, you know exactly what time to take this follicular phase, because there are so many instructions in that where I'm like, what is going on?
It's like also like time, I would say, like, if you want to take a dance class for the first time in a long time.
No.
Because that can feel very scary.
Always scary for me. I am such a bad dancer.
Oh my gosh. There is, to me, taking a dance class with friends as an adult is one of the funniest.
You've and tried most to get things. Me to do it.
And I will keep trying.
I
will keep trying. It's so fun.
I took one, I always say this, I took one hip hop dance class when I was like 18 or 19, when I was in college with one of my friends, Marin, who is a really great dancer. She danced all through high school. And I was like, yeah, how hard could it be? And here's what I learned in that class. You can't be good at everything. I have never been more embarrassed or have seemed more out of place or more just like absolutely unable to accomplish something. One, two, four. I was so insane. Oh my gosh.
It is so hard. It's like truly like a muscle. But no, it's like any sort of class where you could feel silly, which I feel like, I think that's why I love a dance class. It's like it makes everyone feel like silly and let loose.
I'll maybe do one with you, but okay. you have to understand that when you're watching me in the back, my brain is working overtime and my body is working undertime.
That's fair.
And my brain's like, what do we do next? Yeah. What do we do next? And my arm's like, how do I get there? How do I get there?
So good. Oh, but no, like you're literally, like this phase is a perfect time to do something like that because you're literally feeling more optimistic. You're feeling more curious and you feel more resilient. So you know what?
Resilient to looking at yourself in that fucking mirror.
If it's
let me tell you.
The first time we do the eight count and we miss it, We'll do it again.
I'm also not good at math. So when we're talking about eight counts, I'm like, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many counts of this three do you said run it four times back? So what's that, 32? No, I'm out. So if you're not trying to dance, another option is strength training.
There we go.
This is a good time if you are, if you do focus on strength training, which you should, because women's bodies really need that support to help with bone density and longevity. Even if your goal is to not be a bodybuilder, strength training is something you should implement into your workout routine in some way, just for the health and longevity of your body. But progressive overload is a strength training technique that is really great for the follicular phase, because estrogen supports muscle protein synthesis. So that means that you recover faster and you can handle more volume. So you can lift heavier reps and heavier weights, or do more reps and lift heavier weights. And then you have better neuromuscular coordination. So that means improved gains, baby.
We love that. Swole. And then in addition to strength training, HIIT training.
I love HIIT. I love HIIT. We stacked love at HIIT. Equinox. We berries. Love
HIIT. Your body is able to tolerate stress better during this phase. So you're going to have spikes in cortisol when doing a HIIT class, but your body will respond better to it during this phase, which is fascinating. And there's also faster glycogen replenishment. So you're actually able to bounce back quicker during this phase. So again, when you're doing HIIT workouts, you're going through really really extreme moments of intensity, and then you're pulling it back, and you're going back in. And during follicular, your body is able to recover faster.
Love
so
that.
That's a good time to do it.
And it's listen, the research says trying new workouts is best here because brain plasticity is higher and it's easier to learn new movement patterns.
So you know what that means.
It's time for a dance.
Step ball change.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm saying right now, I will commit to doing this with you, and then we can discuss it on the podcast about how it went.
Can't wait.
Because it's not, and maybe we'll record a video of it.
We have to.
But then I will have to not show my face in public. The screen's going to go black just like it does on like Real Housewives. And as Robin stopped filming after this day. So the benefits of training harder during your follicular phase are plentiful, but you build more lean muscle because it's your most anabolic window. So keep that in mind. You increase your metabolic rate long term. And you also, as we mentioned, improve that insulin sensitivity even further. So that helps with how you're absorbing nutrients, how you're absorbing and breaking down carbs, and where those nutrients go in terms of building muscle or fat.
So hint, good.
It's muscle.
Hint, muscle. Love that. Okay. And then we hit our next phase.
Ovulatory. Sexy summer.
This is when you're feeling good. All right. So these are days like usually around like 13 to 16. This is when our body is literally ovulating. And so our estrogen is at the highest. When it's at the highest, this is when we're going to be feeling the most dopamine, the most serotonin. We also have a small spike in testosterone during this time. And that actually leads to a boost when it comes to strength. Also when it comes to drive. So again, we've talked about how in the last phase, your motivation is continuing to grow. This is where we're hitting the peak when it comes to that motivation, that drive, that ambition. Additionally, your nervous system is firing. You're feeling fast. You're feeling efficient. And then this one I thought was really fascinating. I didn't know this, that your pain tolerance increases.
I didn't know that either. I wish, and I always think we want to bring on eventually someone who works in the exercise and body field who can talk about training around your cycle when you can't necessarily cycle sync to the best. Like, for instance, if you're training for a marathon, if this marathon happens to fall in your luteal phase, or even like, God forbid, falls on the first day of your period, how can you support your body in that way?
Yes.
Because obviously, like, if you could book every big exercise accomplishment, your sprint distance triathlon, your marathon, like your best berries class on when you're ovulating, that would be ideal.
Totally. Yes. Totally. But yeah, it's really, I would love to talk to someone about that. It's like, if you know it's going to land in a certain phase, and how can you prepare to get your body as fast as possible?
Exactly. So why do you feel this way during your ovulatory phase? So peak estrogen essentially equals peak confidence, charisma, and energy. So again, you have the confidence to go for it. You also have the energy to go for it. And as you mentioned, you have the pain tolerance to do something. We can do hard things, just like Glennon Doyle says, in our ovulatory phase. And then that slight testosterone bump equals more competitiveness, aggression, in a good way for training.
Yep.
and drive, baby.
We love that. Yeah.
So you are biologically primed to perform during your ovulation phase.
So great.
And we love that.
And we love that.
We're entering it next week. What PR do we want to get into?
Ooh.
Wait, speaking of which, so what workouts should we be doing during our ovulation phase?
Yes. So as you mentioned, heavy lifting, strength training is great during this time, but especially if you're going to go for a PR.
Yep.
So if you're doing any sort of like CrossFit style workout, if you're trying to see, okay, I want to like max out how much I can bench, max out how much I can do my deadlift, like this is the time to do it.
By the way, we keep saying PR, and if you don't know what that is, it's personal record. And it's usually for people who are strength training or runners for the most part. It's like fastest, strongest, yep. Longest.
Great call. Yeah, exactly. So it's like when you're doing your peak performance.
Or you said something on the last episode about like, if you're bouldering, do a level 11 on yes. This day.
Yes, and I stand by.
And I was like, the fuck is she talking about? What is that? My mom texted me after. She goes, for what it's worth, I had no idea what that meant either. Shout out, mom.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember talking about like, yeah, with climbing, there's like different levels.
Okay, good to know.
And there's always like, I don't know, people be like, what level are you at? And it's like, I'm usually at like a V4 or V5. And so as the numbers increase, the climbs get harder and the problems get harder. So the only way to get to become a better climber is to increase your level.
I want to go climbing.
We should go climbing. I haven't been in ages, but I used to love it.
I did it a little. I've done it before. I have two of my very good friends. They are now married. They had their first date at a climbing gym.
Oh, I love that.
I was like, that is a move.
Well, for a while, I used to say climbing is the new drinks. Because what
you
I
would say that I say drinks is a new drink.
Well, just a quick plug for climbing and why I love it is because like I love doing any sort of like fitness with a friend.
Yeah.
And, like hiking is a great one because you chat the whole time. Like, you know, you can like chat when you're hiking with a friend. You can chat when you're running with a friend. It's hard in a class because you can't really talk usually. Yeah. But what's great about climbing is that the whole time you can be chatting. And so you can look at a problem, which is like what you call the climb. So you can like look at a problem, someone can try it, and then you can try it, and then you both have to rest. So there's this built-in moment of resting, and then you're both trying to tackle a problem together. And you're going to do it differently than me because you're taller, right?
I am taller. You always see us sitting, you guys, but I am taller than Lauren.
So you're going to tackle it differently than I will. Also, our flexibility might be different. So you might be able to...
She's likely much more flexible than
stretch.
Me.
I was going to say, you're more flexible. So you could probably stretch and reach something differently. Whereas like for me, I might have to go for a different hold because of how my body is. So there's something I find so beautiful about climbing where it's like, we're both tackling a problem. We're going to tackle it differently because we're different people. And then once we try it, we have to rest and debrief. And then when you're doing it, I get to encourage you because we can't do it at the same time. And then when I'm doing it, you get to encourage me. And it's like, oh my gosh, what better way to build a bond with someone?
I'm losing my shit right now. I've never heard someone wax so poetic for so long. That was a monologue about the beauty of climbing.
I love this.
She's tearing up, you guys.
Guys, climbing is the new drink.
Here's another. Which camp are you in? Are drinks the new drinks or is climbing the new drinks? But here's what I'll raise you this. How about we go climbing, then we go out for drinks after?
Love that. And that's balance, baby.
Yeah.
That's compromise.
Okay.
So, anyway, back to the podcast.
Yes. Anyway, back to cycle syncing. The deviation from our new subset, which is climbing and why we love it.
Yeah. Okay. So a good time to go for your personal record. Go for that harder climb. It's also a perfect time. Like, so if you're a runner, for instance, this is a good time to go for a PR when it comes to running. So like if you can sign up for a race during this time, incredible. If you're going to do a track workout and you're keeping track of how quick you're doing your splits, this is a great time to do that. And then when it comes to just HIIT classes in general too, your body is most equipped to be able to handle that quick shift from working really hard to then doing a more low impact workout back and forth. So it's a great time to tackle a HIIT class.
Absolutely. And then your favorite group fitness, social workouts, with a friend. You're feeling more social and outgoing. So outside of just like the physical aspects and the benefits of ovulating, you have the social and the emotional aspects. You're feeling more social. You're feeling more outgoing. You're willing to put yourself out there a little bit. I'll try a dance class here perhaps. So you're thriving in more social settings.
Yep. Love it. And then something that's important to call out is that when our estrogen is increasing, our ligaments, their laxity is also increasing. So there is actually a chance that you could be more prone to an injury.
Oh.
And that's just something to be mindful of.
So go hard, but prioritize form and control.
And that's that.
And that's that.
And that's that. And just another reminder of always listen to your body, I guess, too. It's like no matter what phase we're in,
please
listen to your body, because the worst is being injured and then being out of it for a period of time.
Which I know you've experienced.
Yeah.
So just to recap the benefits of the ovulation phase and your body working out at this time: peak strength gains, improved athletic performance, and then confidence reinforcement. Guys, the psychological aspects are important too. So this is your biological spotlight moment. Use it intentionally before you get into the luteal phase.
Luteal.
Our age-old friend and enemy. Luteal is a classic frenemy. So this is like the stabilize phase. Progesterone rises. So that's the more dominant hormone now, where it was estrogen before. Your basal body temperature increases. Your body begins preparing for potential pregnancy and potential period, if no pregnancy. And you have a slight decrease in your insulin sensitivity.
Yes, yes. And so during this time, you're probably feeling like your energy is starting to dip. You're feeling a little bit more calm. And the reason behind that is because progesterone has a calming and sedative effect. It allows you to feel a bit more grounded, allows you to feel a little bit like you just want to take it easy. And you're just less amped. And that's great, actually. It's like a really...
Sometimes it's good to be less amped, okay? Yeah,
sometimes we can't be amped all the time.
I could deal with a little less amping in my life.
Yep. And so when it comes to your luteal phase, there's a lot of different workouts you can do during this time. One of which is you can continue doing your strength training, but it's a great time to do moderate weights. So instead, again, of trying to, you know, deadlift the most you've ever deadlifted before.
No PRs here, guys.
Yeah, you can still build your muscle, but because your recovery is going to be a little bit slower than it is in follicular, you just want to be a bit more mindful about keeping weights at a manageable level.
Yep. And again, being nice to yourself when things feel harder for you in the gym. Because that was the thing that I experienced. I could PR one day when I was working with a trainer, and then I would go in the next and be like, all right, let's hit it, and not be at the same level or be able to accomplish the same level of lift or weight, and was just pissed at myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how did I get weaker this week? And it's not that I got weaker. It's that my hormonal balance has changed and I just needed to listen to my body. Come back stronger the next.
So good. Such a good reminder.
And then Pilates, or something that is like a controlled resistance class or activity, is incredible too. So this supports stability and core strength, which is really great now that progesterone has started to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's something that you're still working your body, but you're doing it slow, low, and controlled, which is, I always describe luteal as slow and low. It's like the simmer on the stove phase. You know what I mean? You can still move. You can still be cooking. Literally, this is a really good pun, but you can do it on a lower setting and just have like a nice little simmer.
Yeah, absolutely. I love reformer Pilates, like specifically Legree.
I know you do.
Oh, I love it. And I feel like it's funny. It's like with any group fitness class, you have different instructors who bring a different vibe. You know, it's like some are like really intense and it's the music where like the BPM is like hitting it and we're starting with these really harder, harder exercises. And then there's some classes where it's just like more chill. And I
the workout instructor can make or break your fucking day.
Totally.
I've walked out of workout classes before. If you're in my face and you're telling me to smile with a thumbs up and I'm not feeling, I will pick up my mat and I will be out of there so fast. So fast.
Totally.
And I don't think that's a great personality trait of mine, but I am who I am.
Hey, you know what? You like it. I love that.
Yes.
You don't waste any time.
I went to a class stacked at Equinox, the first one I went to, and it was like, one, it's a confusing structure. And two, the instructor that I was working with, or that was leading the class, reminded me of like Hannah Horvath, Lena Dunham's character meets Rachel Dratch. And she was just... I swear to God, in my face, like, isn't this great? Put a smile on, girl. How are we feeling? Like, directly to me, and kept giving me double thumbs up.
Yeah.
And I was with Kurt and Brooks. And at the end, Kurt was like, I thought that you were going to hit her. I thought you were going to hit her by the end.
Lost my balance.
Yeah, I was like, get out of my face.
That's so funny.
Get out of my face, Rachel. This is not an SNL skit. And I swear to God, I'm going to lose it.
That's so good. That's so real. But yeah, it's like, this is a perfect time. Like, if you're taking a Pilates class, like, take the class where the instructor is like a little bit more chill.
Chill.
Because your body is
don't
like,
take the stacked class. Yeah. Just at the Glendale Equinox on Saturday mornings at 10:15, okay?
That Equinox sucks.
It sucks.
It's like a hotel gym.
It is. That the Glendale one and the Pasadena ones both suck. And they're the closest ones to us. So they're the ones that like I go to on the weekends. I go to the Hollywood one otherwise. Also, I understand that this is a really bougie subset of conversation. Yeah. Oh, the equinox that you go to isn't nice enough. I'm like, yeah, I hear myself too, you guys. I hear myself. It's fine. We hear ourselves.
And we are who we are.
Yeah, we are who we are. But also, that equinox does suck.
No, it's really, it's like lame.
Yes. It is a hotel. Like the Glendale one and the Pasadena one. Like, I don't know which one. The Pasadena one, I think, is even worse.
I haven't been to that one.
But the Pasadena one is right on top of all those really great shops. So if you decide you want to end your workout earlier and then go down and see what's new in West Elm.
Hey.
That is an option.
And that's how we recover. Incredible. And then also, any sort of like low impact cardio is great to do during this phase. It keeps your metabolism active without overstressing your system. Again, you're keeping your body moving, which helps when it comes to mental health, which helps when it comes to lymphatic drainage. So it's
my favorite thing.
Yeah. Like some lit. Some low intensity is good.
Why don't we say lit as much as we say hit? Because people don't prioritize it. So you're not out there talking about it. We're lit girlies.
We're lit.
As opposed to hit. Well, we can be hit girlies, but I love lit.
Yeah. Wait, lit.
Let's talk too about the late luteal phase workouts, which is like more of like the PMS, quote unquote, area. And this is like your protect and preserve phase. So this is like really when you are so down bad tired. So your estrogen and your progesterone drop sharply at this time. Your cortisol sensitivity increases. So stress hits harder. Blood sugar becomes more unstable. It sounds like your body's just going into chaos, which it kind of is a little bit. And your body is under higher internal stress load. So like when your hormonal drop happens, you lose serotonin. So your mood dips, you're more irritable. You have progesterone withdrawal, which means you have anxiety and poorer sleep, and your body is less resilient to high intensity. It recovers more poorly, and it's less resistant to stress, too.
It's going through a lot.
It is. So let's be nice to it.
Yeah, let's be nice. So it's like you mentioned earlier, walking.
Yep.
When it comes to workouts that are great during this phase, walking is like truly the perfect thing to do. It allows you to move your body, but it also stabilizes your blood sugar, which is also great for cravings, and it's great for helping to stabilize your mood.
Yep.
I know my mood is like zzz, 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 during this phase. So anything that helps keep it a little bit like zzz, sign me up. And then it also helps to reduce your cortisol. So again, your cortisol can lead to stress, it can lead to anxiety, and walking is a really great way to help mediate.
Again, yoga is a really great thing here too, or low impact movement, really low impact, just stretching and being present. Yoga is also a mindfulness process. So you are sitting there and you're both resting, you're resting and recuperating and stretching your body, but you're also resting your mind. And those two work in tandem during this phase, supports your nervous system regulation, and it helps reduce PMS symptoms.
Yeah.
Less irritable, less anxious, less paranoid. Those are all the things I'm listing off that I am during that phase.
No, same.
Not feeling like every single person you pass hates you and then is texting a person about you. That's how I feel.
Yeah, no.
I pass someone on the street. I'm like, are they talking about me?
Oh, it's the worst feeling. But it's like,
they don't know you.
Oh, it's so real. It's so real. And then I think too, just in general, like if you have a workout routine and you don't want to like not do your class or you don't want to not do your thing, one thing that's just helpful to do, but to keep consistency is just to make your workout shorter and lighter.
Yep.
So like you can stick with what you're doing, but if you can shorten it a little bit, if you can again lighten it, so like maybe do lighter weights, not push yourself as hard. That's just a way to help prevent overtraining when your body is currently at capacity and when your recovery ability is going to be really low, which is what's happening right now during this phase.
Totally. And like just keeping in mind, there are so many benefits to scaling back too. Yeah. Again, reducing PMS severity, this is so major. Anything that I can do to reduce that mental and physical toll I'm taking, it prevents burnout and adrenal stress, and it supports better sleep. If you're not like whipping your own ass, you're going to be more rested.
Yeah.
And that helps regulate your hormones. So something to keep in mind here too, a lot of women lose progress here if they push too hard.
Yeah.
So this is where alignment really matters.
Yeah, it's a great, and that's such a great reminder too, is that like, I know for me, sometimes I can be in short-term mentality of like, oh, well, if I don't push hard, I'm not going to be setting myself up to be stronger in the future. And that's such a good reminder, Robin, of like, it's actually recovering and resting and being mindful of when your body needs extra time to repair is actually setting yourself up better for long-term.
It's also a short-term thought as well that I have, which is, oh, I've wasted a day if I don't push my body hard, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling, but realizing that sometimes rest is not a waste.
Yes.
Rest is not a waste at any time. And like rest can be the activity that you engage in during this phase.
Yes. Yeah, even just that like that simple term of like rest is an activity.
Yes, rest is an activity.
You're doing.
Yep. That is what that is what I'm choosing to do for my body today. And it, just like in your follicular phase, you might choose to go to a Barry's class. I am choosing to rest in my luteal phase.
I love that. I love that. And so, yeah, those are that's like the big takeaways. And I think like we always talk about, the idea of cycle syncing requires us to rewire our brains for how we think about our bodies. It's the reminder that our bodies are super dynamic. Our hormones are dynamic. They are rising, they are falling. And again, we're a different person during different phases. And so if we can support our body in a way that allows us to support these different phases, we're setting ourselves up for longevity and for success.
Yep.
And I love what you actually, you wrote down like some really simple words to help remind you of what you should do during each phase.
So during menstrual phase, we repair. Follicular phase, we build. Ovulatory phase, we peak. And in luteal phase, we protect.
Love that. It's so simple.
Hell yeah.
It's so simple. It's so great.
And so, keeping in mind, your cycle is not an inconvenience, everybody. I know we sometimes feel this way. It can be inconvenient, but really it's just a blueprint for how you can live a better life and optimize on a day-to-day and a week-to-week and a phase-by-phase. And when you align with it, your workouts feel better, your results improve, and you feel more in control of your body. And again, as we continue to talk about, and you feel more graceful with yourself, which at the end of the day is, I think, the biggest gift of all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounded like a Dr. Seuss book. Which at the end of the day is the biggest gift of all.
No, but totally. It's the ability for us to have more grace is truly life-changing.
Yep.
And it's that idea of like, you don't need to be more disciplined. It's just, can we be more thoughtful and be more mindful and be more intentional about how we're treating our bodies?
Yep.
Depending on what's happening with our hormones.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, that was it for today. Thank you for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Like, comment, subscribe. Only give us a comment if it's a nice one. Feel free to weigh in on the many debates that we had today. Is it martinis are the new drinks, or is climbing the new drinks?
And what are your real thoughts about Rob Thomas?
I forgot that was the other one. What are your desperate real thoughts about Rob Thomas? Is Matchbox 20 overrated or not? But we are In Phase Podcast. You can find us on socials at In Phase Pod.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Thanks for listening to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.